Before we listen to the Word of God read and proclaimed, let us come to God in prayer. Lord Jesus, you are the only one who has the words of eternal life. We can turn to no other. We come to you this morning with faith, hope, and love in our hearts. We pray that your Holy Spirit might be poured out upon us afresh, so that as your word is read and proclaimed, we may have the grace to be able to hear you speaking that word of life into our lives. O Lord, only you are sufficient for such things, but nothing is impossible for you. So speak to us this day. Quicken my heart and mind, O Lord. Help me to proclaim your word today with energy, intelligence, imagination, and love. We ask all of these things for your glory and for the welfare of your people gathered here this morning. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. I don't do this too often, but I changed my scripture for this week. Instead of reading Luke's account of the resurrection, we're going to read Mark's instead. And so it'll be Mark chapter 16, verses 1 through 7, and then the final two verses of the chapter. Listen to God's word now. When the Sabbath was over, Mary Magdalene and Mary, the mother of James, and Salome brought spices so that they might go and anoint Jesus. And very early on the first day of the week, when the sun had risen, they went to the tomb. They had been saying to one another, "Who will roll away the stone for us from the entrance to the tomb?" When they looked up, they saw the stone, which was very large, had already been rolled back. As they entered the tomb, they saw a young man dressed in a white robe sitting on the right side, and they were alarmed. But he said to them, "Do not be alarmed. You are looking for Jesus of Nazareth, who was crucified. He has been raised. He is not here. Look, there is the place they laid him. But go. Tell his disciples and Peter that he is going ahead of you to Galilee. There you will see him, just as he told you." And then in verse 19, "So then the Lord Jesus, after he had spoken to them, was taken up into heaven and sat down at the right hand of God. And they went out and proclaimed the good news everywhere, while the Lord worked with them and confirmed the message by the signs that accompanied it." The word of the Lord. Thanks be unto God. Have you ever been given a second chance in life? They come in lots of different forms. Maybe you made a serious mistake at work, a mistake that could have cost you your job, but your boss just warned you. And let you off, and you were able to keep on in your position. Or maybe you made a serious error in a relationship, an error that could have ended that relationship, but your friend or your fiance or your significant other, your spouse, forgave the blunder, and the relationship persisted. Or maybe you became suddenly ill, or you received a life-threatening diagnosis you had not expected that called into question really your whole existence, and the idea began to creep into your consciousness, "I might die." But through the wonders of modern medicine and the love and prayers of friends and family, you pulled through. And you were given more time. Or maybe you've lost someone dear to you, a child, a sibling, a spouse, or a friend, and normal life just ground to a halt. It's as if everything stopped for a while. But with time, through grief and lots of emotional pain, but with God's help and the help of friends and family, maybe your church family, you came through to a new place in your life. Maybe you're in the midst of this kind of a personal crisis at this very moment. I want to tell you this Easter Sunday that God is the God of new beginnings, a God of second chances, a God who gives us a fresh start in this life. I want you to think for just a moment about the apostles and the women who followed Jesus, who formed his inner circle, James and John, and the women who are named in this passage, Mary Magdalene, Mary the mother of James, and Salome, and all the rest of the disciples too, for that matter. They had followed Jesus for 3 years, hadn't they? They had witnessed truly miraculous things that could never happen. They'd never seen them, and for the most part have never been seen since. They had heard wonderful words of life, to borrow the language of an old hymn, and they believed with certainty that Jesus was the Messiah, the Son of God. But all of that came crashing down on Good Friday, when Jesus was nailed to the cross, when he spoke his last word and breathed his last breath, and when they placed his lifeless body in the tomb. All of their hopes were dashed to pieces on that day. Or think about Peter. I don't know if you noticed this or not. I actually had not noticed it before. In verse 7 of this morning's text, the angel is speaking to the women who have come to the tomb, and he says to them, "But go, tell his disciples and Peter that he is going ahead of you to Galilee. There you will see him just as he told you." Tell his disciples and Peter. Peter was the most exuberant and enthusiastic of all the apostles, wasn't he? He was the first one who declared, "You are the Christ, the Son of the living God," to Jesus' question, "Who do men say that I am?" Remember that he stepped out of the boat in the midst of a life-threatening storm and walked at least for a little while on the waves towards Jesus. He was so bold that he even rebuked Jesus when the Lord spoke about his impending death, and of course was rebuked in turn. Do you remember the story of the Transfiguration? They're on the mountain and Jesus is transformed before them. His countenance becomes like the sun. His raiment becomes just as white as you can possibly imagine. And Peter is so overwhelmed, he doesn't know what to say, and so he blurts out, "Lord, it's great for us to be here. How about if we build some little booths, one for you and one for Elijah and one for Moses?" And the text tells us that he didn't really know what he was saying. It was Peter who drew a sword in the Garden of Gethsemane and lopped off the ear of the chief priest's servant. And it was Peter who boasted that he would never forsake Jesus, even if everybody else did. And it was Peter that denied publicly that he was a disciple of Jesus Christ 3 times. Can you imagine how Peter must have felt that first Easter weekend? The man in whom he had put all of his faith was dead, executed in a dreadful, humiliating, and agonizing way. But more than that, the remembrance of Jesus' last glance at him. Do you remember what the Gospels say? The cock crows 3 times right after Peter has denied the Lord, and the text tells us that Jesus glanced at him without saying a word. He had just said, "I don't know you," the words almost screaming out of his mouth as he denounced his allegiance to Christ. That memory must have tortured his soul, don't you think? I wondered if he remembered the words that Jesus spoke in another place, "Whoever denies me before others, I will also deny before my Father in heaven." But the Easter morning angel singles Peter out. Verse 7, "Go, tell his disciples and Peter." Hallelujah! Our God is a God of new beginnings. Our God is a God of second chances, a God of new starts, fresh starts. If you're in a situation like Peter's, not exactly like his, but in that sense emotionally, or maybe if you're in one of the crises that I described earlier in the sermon, or maybe you're in some other dark place in your life at the moment, our God is a God of new beginnings. Our God is a God of second chances and fresh starts. I love these words from the book of Lamentations. It's not a text that we turn to very often. But listen to chapter 3 and verse 22. "The steadfast love of the Lord never ceases. His mercies never come to an end. They are new every morning. Great is your faithfulness. The Lord is my portion, says my soul. Therefore, I will hope in him." Friends, brothers and sisters in Christ, as wonderful as the news is that Peter was welcomed back into the fold, even after he had publicly denied Christ three times, there's something even more glorious in this text than that. The miraculous birth of Jesus Christ by the Virgin Mary, the sinless life of the Son of Man, who perfectly fulfilled all of God's commandments revealed in Scripture, the human sacrifice of the Son of God on the cross, the shed blood of Jesus Christ, the blood of the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world, and the incomprehensible but glorious resurrection of Jesus of Nazareth after 3 days in the tomb. These things, these events, these actions that took place in time and space and history are a new beginning for the whole human race. It wasn't just for the apostles and the disciples long ago, for the ladies who went to the tomb. Jesus does this for the entire human race. So it means that the miraculous birth, the sinless life, the sacrificial death, and the astounding resurrection from the dead are a second chance for the sons of Adam and the daughters of Eve, for you and for me. Jesus has become the second Adam, as Paul says, a new creation. And that new creation means a new beginning for the human race. Jesus' perfect life fulfilled all the requirements of God's will revealed in Holy Scripture, and that righteousness of Christ is now yours if you'll put your faith in him. When Adam and Eve sinned long ago in the garden, they lost their human righteousness. But what God offers now is a perfect divine righteousness in their place, so that when God looks at you, he doesn't see you anymore. He doesn't see your failings. Instead, he sees the perfect righteousness of Christ. Jesus' shed blood not only purchased forgiveness for your sins, Jesus' perfect life given for you frees you from the enslaving power of sin. We are no longer in bondage. And Jesus' resurrection reversed the curse of the Garden of Eden. Do you remember what God said to them? "In the day that you eat of it, you will surely die." And death has reigned unbroken from that point until the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. But that reign of death has even been broken, and the promise is that we will live again. So we can say, as Jesus said, even though we die, we will live. Even our bodies that grow old, that get sick, that wear out, that die, even our bodies are not just a husk to be discarded. They will live again in the kingdom of God. Brothers and sisters, I'm telling you, Easter is a new day. Easter morning was a new day for the disciples and Peter, that's for sure. But it's a new day, a second chance, a fresh start for the whole human race, if we will simply take advantage of it. It's a new day for Charles Bowdler. Would you say it with me, but put your name in there? It's a new day for Charles Bowdler. It's a new day for you. It's a new day for me. It's a second chance. Let whatever fear, shame, dread, and grief that bind you today be cast aside. Jesus Christ has conquered our failings, and he has destroyed death's dominion over us forever. And he'll even defeat the evil one with all of his terrible power in the world when he comes again. Oh, my friends, my brothers and sisters in Christ, believe the good news of the gospel today. God wants you to know on this Easter Sunday, there's a new beginning for you. You have a second chance, a fresh start, because of what the Lord has done for us in Jesus Christ. So in closing, I would say to you, take hold of what God has done for you by faith. And by God's grace, begin to live into this new abundance of life that is ours because of Jesus' death and resurrection so long ago. Brothers and sisters, the Lord is risen. He is risen indeed. Hallelujah, amen, and amen. Thanks be to God. In response to the reading and proclamation of God's word, I invite you to stand with me now, and using the words of the Nicene Creed, a very ancient statement of the Christian faith, let us say what we believe about what the Lord has done for us in Jesus Christ. We believe in one God, the Father, the Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, of all that is, seen and unseen. We believe in one Lord Jesus Christ, the only Son of God, eternally begotten of the Father, God from God, light from light, true God from true God, begotten, not made, of one being with the Father. Through him all things were made. For us and for our salvation, he came down from heaven, was incarnate of the Holy Spirit and the Virgin Mary, and became truly human. For our sake, he was crucified under Pontius Pilate. He suffered death and was buried. On the third day, he rose again in accordance with the Scriptures. He ascended into heaven and is seated at the right hand of the Father. He will come again in glory to judge the living and the dead, and his kingdom will have no end. We believe in the Holy Spirit, the Lord, the giver of life, who proceeds from the Father and the Son, who with the Father and the Son is worshiped and glorified, who has spoken through the prophets. We believe in one holy, Catholic, and apostolic church. We acknowledge one baptism for the forgiveness of sins. We look for the resurrection of the dead and the life of the world to come. Amen.